Hey there, podcast listener. Steven here from the podcast you're currently listening to. You ever heard a podcast and think, I can do that? Well, maybe you can, or maybe you can't. Or maybe I can help you get started with it. Hosting is the most expensive cost you'll have in a podcast, and that's why Anchor by Spotify is the easiest way to make a podcast. Really, they have everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. With Anchor's hosting, you can distribute your podcast to other listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a whole lot more. And if you think you can do a better job than I, record a podcast right now. There's very low risk involved. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
But I remember watching that, though, and he's like, on all frequencies, we surrender. I was like, Kirk would have never surrendered.
That was a big moment, though. Yeah. That was definitely set him apart from Kirk, because Kirk would have flown full head on first in that fucking barrier, shooting everything. You know, so it was telling you two things. It was telling you, one, Picard thinks things out a little bit more.
Right.
And two, there's going to be enemies in this that are much larger than the first series. They're going to need to be diplomatic and cautious and shit. And they can't just... The Enterprise isn't the most powerful thing in the fucking universe.
Right, right.
You know, like it was in the original series.
Now, this whole thing with Q, and then, of course, you know, he surrenders, and then the main characters, Sans O'Brien, gets pulled into the post-atomic horror. Now, one of the things that Roddenberry had wanted to do was to strictly do a one-hour pilot. But the network said, no, we want to do a two-hour pilot. Because back at that time, in the 70s and 80s, pilots were 2 hours. The reason being was because...
They were a big deal.
They were a big deal, but the reason was is that they could sell them as movies. So they, you know, when they replay them instead of a one-hour series. So they could play them as an independent, a regular film, if in case it didn't work. But so the whole
Q, I didn't know that. So it was like a fallback plan.
Yeah, and the whole Q plot was actually put in to make the episode longer.
To connect the, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
It was basically done as filler, because if you really look at it, the story doesn't get going until almost the second half.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot of sitting around and trying to figure out what they're doing.
Right. So now you have Q in his iconic garb. As he comes out, that judge's outfit he comes out in,
I thought it was an interesting choice, because Star Trek has always, before TNG, painted a positive view of the future. Mm-hmm. But in that episode, they brought it to a point where it was not very positive for humanity. Like, right. Shit was fucked up. You know, and I thought that was a really interesting choice. When I go back and watch it now that I'm older, I'm like, fuck, that's kind of deep. Like, because shit gets worse before it gets better, right?
Right.
You know, and I thought that was pretty interesting. And they talking about drugs and fucking all this deep shit. But I don't know, man. That episode was cool, too, in that scene. Because Q's accusations are not completely false.
Oh, no, they're not.
You know, and it kind of makes you think, like, fuck, we kind of are shitheads, aren't we?
Yeah.
Because he's talking about us. He's not talking about Picard and 24th century humans. He's talking about us.
Right, yeah.
You know, so it's like, damn it, dude.
Yeah, he's making that social commentary on how we are.
Yeah, then, a lot of shit talking in this episode.
Exactly, exactly. So we have that. But I have to admit, when they did that little, I gotta love that Tasha Yar stunt double. The hand strategically goes up to block the face, that really bad blonde wig, and does that little scissor kick.
They should have just put a man in there. Like, it looks so bad.
It reminded me of, like, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka. I don't know if you remember that movie, but when the mom, the these two characters were were in this diner, and then this guy goes to rob him, and the girl's mom, or the guy's mom, is right there, and she's like, "Don't you hold a knife up to my boy?" Suddenly she starts doing all this kung fu shit, but it's a seriously bad stunt double. Like, you see the guy's face with the black mustache doing flips and shit, and it's obvious. Like, you see it full on. Like, they're not trying to hide it. It's
they made that joke in Black Dynamite too a couple times where it's just painfully obvious that it was somebody else.
Exactly. So, you know, it's just like, oh man. But yeah, so the it was funny with that whole bit. And then once they get the cue, says, you, this mission you have to Farpoint is your test to prove you're totally evolved. And it will, you know, reserve judgment until then, because Picard says that we attest. And, you know, you can see early on Q's interest in humans.
Oh yeah.
You see it early on. And so he go, you know, and he, so this is their test. So now they continue on to Farpoint. And then right at that point is when
I think the Q character knew from the beginning that they were going to pass the test.
Yeah.
He just wanted to see how they were going to do it. Yeah. And Picard has played on that a few episodes, is that their interest in them is because they have morals.
Yeah.
They have a moral center, and the Qs don't have it because they don't need it.
Yeah.
And you know, why, when you're that powerful, why do you need morals?
Yeah. When you're omnipotent, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have the apple scene at Farpoint, where you get your introduction to Riker, and, you know, he passes.
When you know something's fucking going on down at that spot.
It's like, oh, you don't. Oh, an apple would have been good. Oh, there's another
whole fucking bowl of
full of apples right here. That wasn't there a minute ago. It was funny because the guy that plays Zorn, his voice. If you've watched any '80s cartoons, his voice supplies some of the characters.
Yeah.
He was huge in that, like Transformers and, like, I think in Thundercats and He-Man, he was a voice actor at the time. And so, yeah, I remember he listened going, why does that voice sound familiar? And then later on I pieced it together, like, oh shit, yeah, he was a voice actor. You know, he's in the, and I would watch him in, like,
that could have been a crossover opportunity. They get to a planet that's the Thundercats planet. That could have been that's an opportunity.
It was a missed opportunity, right? Yeah, exactly. to me, Will Riker seemed the only natural person that, like, everybody else was a little stiff, you know?
Especially Crusher.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In the scene where they were going through, like, the promenade or whatever in the city,
yeah,
she looked like she didn't give a flying fuck what Riker was saying the whole time.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, she kind of says, she apologizes for thinking that she like claimed that he was just trying to look good for the captain. That's why she's bringing up shit. Yeah. But yeah, she looked disinterested. Like, she just didn't give a fuck. And I'm thinking, isn't that your superior officer?
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't you at least look at him when he speaks to you? But that was kind of Crusher too. Crusher did whatever the fuck she wanted.
Anyway. Oh yeah.
She was the only one who could tell the captain to fuck off.
And then this is when Geordi comes in. And to give the, you know, he's like, Commander, the Enterprise just, is this a fictional port, Commander? Sorry, sir. He gives it attention, you know. And I was like, damn. Like, homeboy can't just come up and go, yo, dude, Captain wants to talk to you. No, he's got to give official
report. But you know what, though?
And the Hispanic character is the one that gets iced? That's fucking racist.
No, that's progressive. It's kind of that interaction. And I remember seeing that interaction between LaForge and Riker, and recently when I had rewatched Farpoint, and I was like, damn, he's kind of a dick. But then I'm thinking, but they don't know each other.
Yeah.
And Riker has something to prove at this point.
Right.
So it did kind of make sense. Because I think when you rewatch it and you've seen the whole thing, we already know the characters, because everybody got a little bit more relaxed. right. at the end, because they all were friends and shit, playing poker together and all this bullshit. Yeah. You know, so, but yeah, it was kind of funny. Like, is this an official report? Like, yes. Damn.
Yeah, like he's sitting there, like the doctor's already just kind of giving him the cold shoulder and shit, like, you know, and then all of a sudden Jordy comes up, yo, man, Catman's got is this official report? Sorry, sir.
Shit. They should have had
permission to suck the first penis, sir.
They should have had the force go, hey, what's going on, motherfucking
what's
look?
Up? yo, dude.
Yeah, boy. It was super. I have a clock around his fucking neck. Just super racist about it.
Baseball caps it to the side and shit.
I always thought LaForge in the first season was. They made him look like such a jackass. It was in Farpoint, I'm pretty sure. When they were talking about. Riker gave him the idea of basically like stalling the Enterprise and then. Kicking it in high gear, and then go, and he goes woo-wee or something like that. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Yeah. Like they made him say little. He was the excitable one, and I didn't think it's like the engineer shouldn't be the excitable one. That doesn't make any sense.
Always struck me as funny, and this and it happened in Best of Both Worlds when they had a coolant leak in engineering, and then he evacuates engineering. The emergency door comes down, and he rolls underneath it when he could clearly have just bent down and come under the door.
He waits.
Yeah,
until the door gets to a certain.
You see him. He does a curve roll.
You see him look back at the door and go, "Not yet," and then just fucking rolls. And it's so funny because every time they had to do that, he rolled under that fucking door, and I can only imagine. I can only imagine he's in the reading and he's like, look, I'm rolling out that motherfucking joint. And ain't no one telling me
the
nothing.
The only one that seemed even remotely cool was in Generations. Because he had to literally lay flat and roll under as it was getting there. But well, during
it was because the timing was right. The timing was always fucked up on the show. You could tell he was like, waiting for a cue.
Wait for it, and go now. Okay, you can steer clearly with 3 inches, but you know.
I mean, I know what they were trying to say. Like, it's his engineering room, and he's trying to make sure everyone's out and all that bullshit. Look, when the fucking alarm goes off, move your ass. Because that door is coming down. There ain't no bullshit when the warp drive explodes. He shouldn't be having to be there waving you to the fucking exit. You know where it's at.
So Riker goes up to the Enterprise, comes up onto the battle bridge. Picard's a bit of a dick. Like when he comes walking in there, you know, and he's like...
We talked about this too before.
I think
Picard is always a dick. Like the entire crew later on, the entire crew, instead of the people that directly work with him, are frightened of him. When he walks by, everyone's like, oh shit, like they snap to attention.
Yeah.
Not just like when Riker walks by, they're supposed to snap to attention too, but not Riker, baby, because he plays that saxophone or trombone or whatever. He's fucking jamming. Everybody loves him, you know, but Picard was just so serious about what he was doing.
And then did the late, permission to come aboard. And then he barks these orders and then he's like, permission granted. And everybody's like standing there like,
Yep. Or how he makes Riker, what did he make Riker do? Oh,
manually connect
the ship for no fucking reason.
For no fucking reason whatsoever. And everybody looks at him like, wow, he did such a, like, they're looking at him all nervous. They're the ones doing the fucking work. Like, well, you know, he's like, he goes, you know, bring the ship 3 degrees to the, you know, so O'Brien is doing that shit and it reconnects and they look at Riker like, fucking pimp daddy here. It wasn't like Insurrection, like he fucking did it with that joystick.
And that was badass in Insurrection. You can only see this happening in real life on like a submarine where the commander takes all the credit and all he did was sit in a chair and tell people what to do.
Exactly. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like everybody's looking at him like he's like all impressed like when it connects and stuff like that. And then the music's all ba-da-ba, you know, when it's all successful and shit. And everybody looks at him with smiles like, wow, he did it. And it's like, he did nothing. You guys were the ones sitting there.
I do understand why Picard did that to Riker, of course, because for two things. One, he's you know, testing. He's testing his first officer. And also deflate that ego a little bit. Let's be honest. Riker walked on that ship like he fucking, his shit don't stink, dude. He was like, He's like, I'm going to be captain in about 2 months. Watch.
That old man's going to die of a heart attack. It's going to be my shit, baby. It's going to be called the USS Riker's Joyride.
As a matter of fact, let Picard try to tell me what to do. I smacked that motherfucker in the face. Like, no. I'm laughing so hard I can't even talk. He came on the ship, and he wasn't a dick. But when Riker came on the ship, he was so sure of himself. And he's always had that about him. He's always very sure of himself, which is fine. But Picard probably saw that and said, all right, asshole, then go fucking do something complicated.
And
you know,
and at the same time, he says that Captain DeSoto spoke very highly of him. You know, as
yeah, so you already knew Picard liked him. He chose him. Right. But he needed to kind of bring him back down to Earth a little bit.
And then
this could be all fucking speculation and me just giving more depth than the show gave.
And of course, it lays down the whole no captain beaming down rule when Riker and Picard have their one-on-one. So it lays down that whole bit, the children rule, where Picard is inept in areas of children.
Well, the whole I like that they did that with the captain, and of course Picard occasionally, you know, fucking skirted that rule. But that always bothered me about the original series. Why would you have the captain beam down all the fucking time?
Captain and the first officer.
Yeah, like what the fuck? What if these people die? You're screwed. You got second string running the ship. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. And we all know why they did it. Because those were the stars of the show.
Right.
You know, and they want them always there. But I think it was a great choice to have Riker be the one that handled business on away teams. And I think his personality suited it better, too. Because Picard only broke the rule when it was like something in archaeology was going on or something silly.
Or he
like
had
that.
To head something. And,
yeah.
You know. Then, of course, Geordi's hair clip, where you get that one standalone shot of that beret, that spray painted beret.
You know, briefly, real quick, I just want to commend Steve for his notes, because not only is he more prepared, which is usually how it is anyway, but half of the shit I forgot. I forgot all about that fucking hairpin. That shit was so funny when I saw that. Like, what the fuck is this shit?
And it's just written Geordi's hair clip.
Yeah, that's all bullet point Geordi's hair clip, period. That's all that needs to be said. Did you ever see the test? It's floating around YouTube. You guys can look it up, but there's TNG test footage where they're basically filming each character. I don't think they're all in it, but they're filming the actor in costume at different angles. And look at Geordi's got Jerry curl, dude.
Oh, wow.
I think it's a different actor, though.
It might be.
But yeah, you got to look that up. It's funny. Data, they is the. I think half the video is Data because they're doing different colors of his skin.
Yeah.
And there's a couple times because you know how Spiner is. He's like making funny faces and shit. Like, shit was so funny, dude. You got to see that shit.
I'll have to check that out. And of course, they do the passing of the baton episode with the Geordi hair clip, which is just a bad 80s beret clip. Oh my god, that shit was hilarious. But, you know, it already sets him up that the visor's painful for him. But they didn't play on that very long. You know, it became
there was a couple episodes where he was in sick bay. You know, something.
And then it was the source of, remember when Worf was traveling through parallel universes? His visor was the source of that tachyon. The magic tachyon.
Everything fucking emitted tachyons. Yeah. I think there was one episode where they kind of solved why don't they focus on it more, where Geordi kind of just said, yeah, it hurts, but you know what? I'm used to it, so there's no use in complaining about it. Like he said something along those lines. So it kind of just made him look like a badass and also just like,
and then in
why dwell on it?
And then in First Contact, he got cool contact lenses.
Those were so dope.
Yeah.
Those weren't contact. Those were like, weren't those like bionic eyes or something?
They were contact lenses, dude.
Data lent him a pair of eyes. And they hooked him up.
Because that's how Data is.
I don't mean did the actor replace his eyes. I meant in the show. Those were so dope. When they zoomed in and he was all zzz, zzz, I was like, oh, this motherfucker got that new shit.
What's next? And then, of course, you had Dr. McCoy. You got the little passing of the baton.
That was cool.
Yeah, with Dr. McCoy and Data.
You treat her like a lady.
Yeah. He's like, I don't see any points on them ears, boy.
God damn, he looked old as fuck, too.
Like 100, like 1,000 years old or something.
I think he was 80, though. Because didn't TNG start like roughly 80 years in the timeline?
Yeah, but he was supposed to be like 100 and something years old in the show.
Well, because he obviously wasn't one. But that is true, though. It's roughly 80 years. Yeah. At least that's what they said. But that's crazy because that's so many fucking Enterprises.
Yeah.
That's four. Four fucking Enterprises. An 80-year period. Like, let it go, guys. You know?
one of the things was sad, though, is that he was supposed to be still alive in the future. And basically, when that series pops up, you know, him and Spock are still alive. Kirk is supposed to be dead if you go by generations, you know, by that point. And you're like, oh, and he was the first one to die in real life.
That is kind of sad.
It kind of sucks. You know, but, you know, and he's supposed to be 100 and something years old. But that was cool, and I like that ending shot with them walking down the hallway. You know, and so I thought that was always kind of cool.
I'm surprised though that they didn't put Kirk in that. There had to have been something going on because you know that would have been cool to have fucking like Captain Kirk on the fucking bridge and shit.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? Yeah, but the thing was is that Roddenberry wanted McCoy.
Oh, okay.
To do that little bit, and
because I know technically if Kirk did do the passing of the torch,
generations
would have been weird. Like exactly. They would have had to change it, but they didn't know Generations script back then.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of it is also because Shatner probably wanted so much money for that. And, what's his name? DeForest Kelly actually took the bare minimum. Like, well, I'll do
it. Just wanted to be involved.
Yeah. Just wanted to be involved and said like, yeah, okay, we'll do it. And just took the bare minimum to even get paid for that.
Shatner's always about that hustle.
Oh yeah. And then of course we get reminded as they start going through this whole story and life starts kind of going to normal, you get the Q image on the view screen.
Yeah.
And Worf pulls out that fucking phaser, like he's gonna blast through stuff.
Worf is fucking G right there. He didn't give no kinds of fuck. Dude, I'll blow up the fucking ship, homie. I don't give a fuck. I'm from the streets, motherfucker.
But
it's
like, you know, he should have known better. But what's funny was that, you know, he was like, you know, it's okay. You know, Riker's like, it's okay, Worf. You just reacted. He's like, he should have known better. You know, it's like Picard was like the stern mother and the like cool dad. You know.
Yeah. What was Oye said? He said, "I'm sorry, sir." And then Riker said, "You reacted quickly."
Yeah.
And then Picard said something like, "Without thought" or something like that. and then fucking poor Worf. And this was the saddest line Worf ever said in the entire show. I'll do better next time, sir. I'm like, to see a Klingon say, do better next time. I was like, that's so sad.
It's like you expect them to sit back in the ops chair sucking on like a juice box or something like that. Like,
based on that one line, I believed his father did betray the Klingon Empire. Fucking just being such a pussy. Then he redeemed himself later in First Contact. If you were any other man, I would kill you where you stand.
Oh man. And then, of course, in that, you know, they go down to meet with Groppler because Riker gives his reports that, you know, shit was getting weird.
What kind of name is Groppler, by the way? Yeah.
Groppler Zorn.
Like, no, just Groppler. Like, what the f- yeah. That wasn't his name. That was his title.
Yeah. Well, what's funny was that they make the use of the, at this point, unseen Ferengi. And it's like, well, let's hope the Ferengi find you as tasty as their other, whatever, as their other associates. I was like, fucking they're cannibals? What the
heck? Well, I think too, I know that it's, and this is in canon, that children used to think that Ferengis were cannibals because their teeth were so sharp. Like it was a myth, like a scary story to tell. That's actually in canon. And the people who found that the most funny were the Ferengis. That's also because they eat like grubs, I think. That's the only meat they eat. And then they eat vegetables and shit. But this episode, just the hint towards Ferengi is because, and as you know, most Star Trek fans know this, the Ferengi were supposed to be a very aggressive force throughout the series.
They were supposed to be like the new Klingons.
Yeah, but that was changed.
So. Gladly.
Because Ferengis didn't start becoming really cool until, I would say, like, the later seasons of TNG, and then especially DS9.
Space Nine, yeah.
Yeah. The fucking creeping around like little goblins thing just didn't work out.
Yeah, I know. They're like 4 feet tall, and you're like, really, you're going to try to threaten Riker, who's like...
They were way more threatening when they started acting normal.
Yeah.
Because they controlled shit. Like, they were wheeling and dealing, and they were really smart. But when they were trying to make them look physically aggressive, it's like, get the fuck out of here.
I know, right?
Little gremlin-ass motherfuckers kicked in the face.
So, Picard senses something's going on, that the Groppler's hiding something, and Troy's sensing this. At this point, we still find that she's a useless character to have.
Because she doesn't know anything. Like, she always senses something, and then they go, oh, okay, explain. And she goes, I don't really know.
I can't. I just.
It's because I'm half human, and that half is useless, so I can't really think. You know.
My breast sense.
My breast can tell the weather.
It's cold.
So, she was hot, though. So...
Picard assigns Riker a mission to go down to the surface and assemble an away team. So, of course, this is Riker's first interaction with Data, but Data's in the holodeck. So he's trying to find Commander Data, and then so he asks this crewman to show him how to, you know, to use the computer. And, you know, basically the computer Siri. And
because at that point, the Enterprise computer was, like, brand new, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, he was able to locate everything. He demonstrates in front of her, or she demonstrates in front of him, but she, like, her eyes on him were like,
hey. Yeah, well, wasn't that every broad on that fucking ship? if it wasn't the only broad that didn't want to suck some Riker dick was Crusher. That because she wanted that Picard pole, baby.
Yeah. this and then when he leaves, she turns and watches him walk away. I'm like, damn, she wanted that first officer Pip really bad.
Pip, motherfucker. I think they were trying to concrete that he was going to be the heartthrob in the show. Like, he was going to be the lady killer. I think that was an interesting choice, too.
The thing was is that they could have just had her just as she's showing him stripping down in front of him.
She. I remember that scene, and I'm starting to see it more vividly now that you bring it up. There's a point. And this only really happens in movies. It doesn't really happen in reality. But there's a difference, and it's it's easy to cross this line, but it's not a slight difference. There's a woman wants a dick, and then there's a woman craving a dick. Like, and that chick, she started at wanting the dick, and then all of a sudden she was like, if I don't jump on his balls in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to die. She was craving that dick.
Oh my God, I know. So he goes to the wrecker in the cut shot. He gave her the D.
And then after the porn crossover.
Yeah. And then, you know, after everything was done and he's dipped right afterwards, he went into the holodeck. And so this is where we actually first see the holodecks. And, you know, it's the whole like.
I thought that was a cool introduction.
It was a great introduction of that. You're kind of like, whoa, that's fucking cool.
How's he in a fucking forest all of a sudden?
I know. It's like, and it's like, damn, how big is that ship? And one of the things that I found was interesting was they've always mentioned this later on about the safety protocols in the holodeck.
Yeah.
Yet when he's crossing, there's that one rock that rocks when he's standing on it, you know, that it could lead to him falling into the water, which Wesley does fall in later on. And I'm like, wouldn't the safety protocols prevented that from happening?
Well, no, because you have to – that episode where
– No!
Shut up, because I looked this up once. That episode does have what's considered a continuity error because Crusher walks out and he's still wet. He shouldn't be because the water is simulated. Now, a lot of people have said, oh, well, the holodeck just used replicators to make real water. I'm like, what a waste of resources. That doesn't make any sense. But you have to remember in the holodeck, you're not technically moving up and down. in a lot of respects. So the safety protocols, you think you're on a rock, but you're really not. That's how people have explained it.
Well, I've seen it where it's supposed to be like you're on a treadmill. And the simulations around, this is us nerding out right here, is the simulation around you moves. So my question to that is, then how can you have three different people in three different areas if you're all on the same treadmill?
See, this is one thing, because the holograms and the holodeck have mass, simulated mass, so you can touch them and interact with them. That's obvious.
Right.
So the treadmill thing, yes, because it's obviously not making a planet inside this tiny ship. But I think where – and this kind of completely devalues what I just said about the fucking rock, so I don't know what I was talking about then. I think the area in which you are in, it gives mass to what's there so you can interact with it. And then as you move on, it just recreates everything. It's kind of common sense look at it. But, you know, I'm just a pitiful – born in the 20th century human. I don't know. I explained something and then explained it away in the same fucking breath. 2 minutes. Let's move on.
So yeah, then we come to that infamous scene where Data's whistling and he can't hit that last part, and then Riker does, and then you get the Pinocchio reference.
I thought it was a good I thought out of all the characters, he was introduced the best in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Data and Riker, I think those two. Riker had some funny moments, but I think Data was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
He trying to whistle. Like, just, he just longed to do human things.
One of the things that I also noticed, and I remember when I first saw it, the holodeck concept was fucking amazing. It still is. It would be awesome to have that. But I noticed that Wesley wasn't really portrayed as the whiz kid.
No,
like we saw in like the later episodes and stuff.
He's just he wasn't dumb, but he was just a kid.
He was a kid with like, he'd be like a techie at this point, because yeah. You know, when he goes on the bridge and he starts, you know, oh, you have this and this does this, and you know, it's like, yeah, he'd be like what we would be right now.
It's like, cool, he read a pamphlet, but that doesn't mean he's a fucking genius,
right? Yeah, yeah, he saw a YouTube.
Although
video,
Picard really. Was impressed. Picard was impressed by that later on.
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't common knowledge or something. Yeah. Who fucking knows? But he wasn't – in later episodes with Wesley was always the one that was coming up with the fucking crazy inventive idea, and he wasn't even in Starfleet yet.
Right.
You know, so yeah, he was just portrayed as Crusher's kid. Did they even establish that it was Crusher's kid in the first episode? I don't remember.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because he said Picard brought my dad's body home.
Oh, yeah, they put that in there right away.
Yeah.
To add to the Crusher character and that whole dynamic.
One of the things, then, of course, you know, he recruits Data and they go down to the planet and start looking around. And I love how when they go down there, they're like, okay, we need to split up in groups. One should be up here and the other one should be down there. And Troy's quickly like, Commander, you and I should go down there. And he just, like, shuts it down. He goes, he sends what? Troy and Geordi, and he goes off with Data. It was like, boom, shut it down. And then, of course, Geordi does the generic over there point, you know, with
yeah. Geordi was always the funny one. Like, he'd always, like, he would be when he was on the bridge, because he used to work next to Data on the bridge before right. Wesley did, and he would always have something stupid to say, which I thought was funny. Right. But yeah, basically, Riker's like, if I want to hang out with the boys, I'm going to hang out with the boys, and you're going to fucking go where I tell you to go.
Right, right.
Like, you kind of beast mode about it, you know? So, that kind of too, but that kind of ruined Troy's character even more at that in that tender first encounter with the crew. Was you were like, God, this chick is just fucking... I felt at that time like, now she's just going to be the one they have to save all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which it wasn't the case.
I mean, right, which wasn't the case. And I think her shining moment was when she – remember when they put her in on the Romulan ship and she was made a member of the Obsidian Order?
Yeah, oh, no, no, that was –
was that the – no, that was the
– no, the Tal – Tal Shiar. Tal Shiar,
yeah.
The secret, like, secret fucking – secret
it's,
people.
Yeah, like the secret police for the Romulans, yeah.
Yeah, but they do their own shit. Even the Romulans are afraid of them.
Yeah. And it was funny because, like, you know, they go through and they start investigating the stuff. And I love the obvious map paintings below the station. in the background, which was the same
we
shot.
We don't even sound like Star Trek fans because unfortunately, the first season's the worst season, and this show is one of the worst ones of the season, right. The first episode. So it's just funny.
It is funny. I mean, it's not to, and the thing is that you can love something and still pick at it.
Of course.
The Star Wars and Star Trek stuff is perfect about it. Is perfect, you know, for all of that.
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, exactly.
Bro.
But I was noticing, though, that in this, they never, one, they never, like, when they call to one another, like, Yar to team leader. Like, not Commander Riker. Like they do in the regular ones. It's like, you know, Yar to Riker. You know, it's like, to team.
Yeah, but they all just met each other, though.
Yeah, it's like, you still didn't know
maybe
his
name. Forgot his name. She forgot his name.
Yo, tall dude. Yar to tall dude.
More there. Proof of a useless character from Yar. Can't even remember their fucking commander's name. No wonder she died. Hey, that episode where she died was really cool, but we won't get into that because that actually comes up pretty soon.
Yeah, I know, right?
I got rid of her pretty quick, so.
Yeah, right. So they're investigating down below. What else happens? Oh yeah. So Riker and Dr. Crusher and Picard actually meet for the first time when she comes to the bridge with her son, with Wesley sitting in the turbo lift. You know, it's funny, when I was in, it's around the, I don't know, it's like in the first year or two Star Trek goes on, I went to Magic Mountain, and I remember waiting in line for fucking, what do you call it, Roaring Rapids, and I remember looking across the other way from me, and I saw Will Wheaton with two of his buddies there, and I kind of stared, and all of a sudden I was like, oh shit, that's Will. And then he kind of looked at me, and I smiled, and he kind of smiled, and then I just, like, left him alone, and I was like, oh, shit, that's Wesley. Wesley's right over there. And
hey, what's up with your mom, though?
Yo, say hi to your mom for me.
No, you know, when you first saw...
He might have been, Chris Hardwick might have been there, too.
You never know.
Yeah.
When you first see Crusher on the show, this is what happens, right? And it's something that the first series didn't have. It gave all men a choice. Are you on Team Crusher or are you Team Troy?
Troy.
Which one do you think is the hottest on the show? Now, of course, that's not their intention, right? But which team were you on? That's the real question. And I was on Team Crusher all day. All fucking day. All day and all night.
I was on Team Picard.
Yeah, everyone was on Team Picard. I was on Team Data, though.
I wanted that first officer Pip.
That's right.
My God.
Anyway,
I was on Team Worf.
I was on Team O'Brien.
We were all on Team O'Brien. That's beyond.
That's true. Oh my god. So this unidentified ship approaches, like four times bigger than the Enterprise.
And it looked like a UFO. Like it looked like a
Roswell.
Yeah, I was like, "What the fuck is this?" And when you first see the show, you have no idea what it is. They did a good job in that. Fantastic. Like you had no fucking clue. You know, it had something to do with.
I mean, I first thought, like, is that a weather balloon?
You knew it had something to do with what was going on the surface, but you didn't suspect what it was.
Right.
Which was pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah, the ship comes and then starts firing on the old abandoned city on the outskirts.
Right, not the new station.
Right, so you see bad models exploding. So...
You expected to see Godzilla come out from that.
He's like, ah! A big rubber foot come down, slam on it. It was funny because, like, you know, Riker decides to stay on there with Data and send the rest of them back to the Enterprise. What's funny in that is that Riker never used names. He said you. Like,
well, he was new.
Well, yeah, but the thing is like you would respect, you know, it's like going, you and I will go this way. The rest of you go back to the ship. It was like, can't use Data. He said that also earlier on when he was like, you go, you and I will go this way, which is to Data, you know. And it's like, the writer get lazy?
Like, wait a minute, did Riker ever use names on away teams?
He did, but in that first episode, he just kept saying you. Because for some reason, it seemed like the writers didn't know who they were going to choose to go down there. So let's just put you in here.
Maybe it was. Maybe those scenes were a little bit more ad-libbed. And Riker was just kind of, you go over there and you go over there.
I don't know. Yeah, hot tits and a short blonde. You guys go back to the ship.
Or maybe it's just because Riker's a fucking boss. He don't need to say anybody's name. He does what he wants to fucking do.
And then
I don't know. Maybe the writers made it. Felt that made him sound more like he was in control of the situation. Like, he, because it's like, Data, can you go over here? And, you know, and now he's like, you, go this way. You know what I mean? Or he's just an asshole, doesn't know anybody's name.
Everybody was kind of a dick in this one. and then Troy's outburst, like, but you might get hurt. It was like, oh, shut up.
He shut her down, too.
I know.
I was like, I remember that. I'm like, why is this bitch even here?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, do you realize? Like, and did she even have a rank? I know there was a
Well, that went on for a long time until you.
There was an episode where she tried to go for a command rank or something.
Like a lieutenant commander rank. I think she had to take a test for that or something like that. But yeah, it took like 4 seasons to find out she was lieutenant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she wore the tunic for a while. Where that big blue stripe got even bigger sometimes.
But then now, I don't know, I forget if this happened in TNG, but in the books now, she's a diplomatic officer or something like that. Well, that which makes then makes it makes sense then.
Yeah.
You know, but like they didn't give her, she's just a broad that sat on the bridge. Yeah. Like, if you really, she sat on the bridge on the left side of the captain.
Yeah, I know, it was like,
and she had no rank.
Yeah, it was like, is it that important? Is your stature on the ship that important? No, that actually, be in the back of the bus with the little walk-in closet / office. That would be
if you really pay attention. The chair that she sat in was not her chair. That chair was for whoever needed to sit there. That was like the guest chair. You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes Crusher sat there.
Yeah,
that was Picard's bitch's chair, dude. That's where he had the girls sit.
And Shelby sat there when
sat there.
Yeah,
you know? So. And. But then anyone else sat next to Riker.
Oh yeah, there was the little.
What was that, the female chair? What kind of sexist shit?
They had that little fold out chair that was on the side of Riker's
little stool where bitches sat.
Oh man,
there's a lot of chairs on that bridge.
There was a lot of chairs. A lot of chairs appeared out of nowhere.
Poor fucking Worf had to stand the entire time.
I know. I was like, dude, come on, give that dude a chair. Although he did have a chair in Generations, remember?
Yeah. Get tired. Get old.
I like when Groppler is like, Zorn is calling to the Enterprise, telling her like, help us, and like Picard like ignores it,
just cut him off.
Cuts him off.
And that kind of started a trend, because Picard would constantly do that. As soon as someone started whining, like, cut this fucking shit off, I ain't got time for this.
And then of course Riker and Data try to talk to Groppler to find out why they're attacking. He's of course claiming ignorance, and then he gets kidnapped. And then of course Q pops in at the most inopportune time. Now here's the one thing that struck me as Azad. He's over there, you know, they're firing down on the city and you're doing nothing up here. And then Picard goes and talks to Crusher about going down to help the civilians. Now, are they firing on an abandoned city? Who's hurt?
Maybe there were still people in the city, but yeah, they didn't really say, because
they said they're not firing at Farpoint, they're firing at the old abandoned city.
Because the way it was portrayed was that all the people on the planet moved into Farpoint,
right? So
to work there and shit.
And if the ship is firing on the old abandoned city, why are they sending medical teams down there?
And also,
is there a tree hurt?
Here's another horrible habit of Star Trek. You have an entire planet and there's only one city. Like look at the planet from space and there's nothing there.
Right.
So it's like, damn, these civilizations really suck.
There's no infrastructure going on.
Yeah. Make a train or something.
Exactly. And then, of course, Q uses the Mon Capitan line, which he uses constantly afterwards.
He says it with such fucking conviction, too, yeah, doesn't he?
Oh, Mon Capitan. You know? And then, of course, you know, Q gives them clues, as he always does. But this is when he starts showing that interest in Riker, which they use later on.
Yeah. I think he likes Riker because Riker was more reactionary.
Yeah, he was quick to take charge and jump into stuff as opposed to Picard.
Picard would like call a conference and then take all the suggestions, which is fine, you know, but boring.
Yeah. So in all of this, at some point, well this is what I always this is what I found funny, and I didn't realize until when I was doing it, watching it yesterday, is Riker's getting the whole sick bay together to go down and help the people downstairs. Picard takes a moment out of his time to go down to sick bay and apologize to Crusher for, you know, being short at Wesley and not greeting her when she was there and stuff like that. And then says the line of, like, you know, to request a transfer for her. Because he seemed surprised that he was her chief medical officer. And in my opinion, is doesn't captains always approve who's their officer postings?
Well, she said, yeah, they do. Because she said she had a problem with it, she wouldn't have requested this assignment.
Yeah, and then he said, you requested this? Like, it was a shock to him. Like, you know, and
I don't know. It almost made it seem like he approved it, but then he started having second thoughts. But I think, honestly, you know what it feels like? Because that scene was towards the end.
Yeah.
And it almost was like the writer's like, all right, we're kind of making Picard look like a super dick right now.
Right, let's soften
him up a little bit. But that's kind of how it feels.
Yeah.
He was just trying to keep that line of communication open just in case, if you understand what I'm saying. In case he needed to get his something the holodeck could not provide.
You're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to see Wesley's mom tonight. That's right.
Hey, Wesley's working the bridge. Hey, Wesley, what's your mom doing later, dude? Why don't you make yourself scarce tonight?
Hey, Wesley, when's your shift end? Okay. I'm going to be knocking off a few minutes early.
If you see a sock on your quarters door, you know what that means, homie. Don't be fucking around.
It's an anti-grav, like, suction thing attached to the door with a sock hanging on.
That was another thing. One of the most unbelievable things about Star Trek in general was there was the holodeck and no one was fucking on it.
I know, right?
Because I know my species. And if you gave humanity the ability to create women or men, mostly women, out and give them the ability to interact with you, do whatever you tell them to do, people fucking in that damn bit. That's gonna happen. Well, the closest they got was the episode with Barkley where he was laying on the grass with Crusher and Troy, like, big boss man, dude. Yeah. Like, at least he got the idea.
He knew what to do.
he knew how to utilize that technology. Because I would never leave the holodeck. I'm like, I got a date where? The fucking holodeck. Because I ain't fucking with you complicated bitches. I'm going to mess with this chick that does whatever I want. In any position.
And then we cut back to the story after Picard decides to show I'm not a complete dick, but I have one. They send Riker and the away team to the alien ship, and it's the same inside as the one downstairs with the same map painting in the background. But the difference is Troy's feeling anger emotions. And then, of course, they discover Zorn inside, and he's being tortured by the aliens.
By the way, his screams were so annoying. He was overdoing it. It was a Kirk level of overdoing. Like, he was just shut the fuck up.
And then he's like, I don't know what I want. And then she's like, he's lying. Like, oh, now you tell me this information? Where the hell were you earlier?
I thought they took the phase route because they were going to kill him.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. Yeah, I know.
Put him out of its misery.
Yet again, fucking Troy in the earlier seasons is so useless, dude. Like, they talk to him multiple times, and she never said nothing. She said that he was hiding something.
Right.
But so was everybody. You know what I mean? So that really doesn't tell you shit.
Right.
Bitch.
So
I'm sorry, but I read through your notes and I'm laughing. Like, just the wording of these notes.
They cut back to the bridge Q makes his first appearance in the Admiral's uniform, which I thought was boss. Like, he has to outrank Picard.
Yeah.
Like, he has to be the
highest. And Picard says something like, if you earn that uniform, you would understand. Because Picard always hated when he wore a Starfleet uniform, like, fucking asshole.
Yeah, and it's like, suddenly he and Q always had to be above everybody else. But there was one thing that I had noticed was the shot before that, when Picard was on the bridge, it was him, Worf, Yar, and like two other people on the bridge. So there was like four people total.
Yar was off making a complaint to Starfleet about something.
Right. And then like it cut to the ship and then the whole grappler thing. Then it cuts back to Picard and suddenly there's like six people on the bridge. These people just fucking materialize out of nowhere. Like,
hey, them transporters are real, dude. No joke.
Beam directly to the bridge. Shit, I'm late for my shift. Beam me directly to the bridge.
Dude, I would beam everywhere. Like, I would never walk. Like, I want to go to 10-4 and get a drink. Hey, yo, beam me to 10-4 real quick.
I know. Easy,
motherfuckers. You drink a little too much at 10-4, and I go, make it, I'll be beaming to McCorders, though.
Oh, man. And then, of course, we make the discovery that the station is actually the giant jellyfish.
Which honestly did surprise me. It was the mate, and it might have been because I was young, but it surprised me that, oh wait, the ship is, the ship and the fucking station are living things. And I thought that was kind of a bold statement from them to make too in the first episode, because they were kind of just saying like life isn't always going to be human like, and we have to respect all of it.
Right, and then the fact that they were. You know, he's like, we fed it. You only gave it enough to survive. And it was torture, basically. Yeah. And so
it hit on some hard points.
Yeah, no, it did. And, you know, like the ship, and you find out that the ship was only attacking because it was trying to free its mate. And it was the one thing that, you know, like, they had said, like, people should evacuate Farpoint. And then they fired that energy into Farpoint to give it energy so it could, you know, leave the planet. But my question was, did the people get off that fast?
Like, my answer is, who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I know.
Because at that point, that's when you really realize that this entire society of people must have been in on it.
Yeah.
They knew what was going on, so fuck them. You know what I mean?
It's like the Germans and the Nazis, you know, you know, Hitler did this, so did all the people know about it?
Yeah, that's true, too.
So,
but, because not only did Farpoint Station transform back into a jellyfish, it left the planet.
I know.
If there was any people in there, too bad for you, homie.
So if you had somebody like, oh, dude, I gotta go back and get my TV. And then he went back there, and then it turned jellyfish. Motherfucker, gone with his TV.
all of a sudden, it's the episode where Picard went back to get his saddle and got trapped on the ship.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, you fucking fucked up. You should be goofing off.
Exactly. See, you had to get your saddle, right? But you ain't doing that shit again. And then the aliens took off, and then, you know.
It was a shame that they never met that species again. Because you would think that a species like that, they would run into them again at some point.
Yeah, you know. But no, we get the crystalline entity after that on several occasions.
The giant snowflake.
And then, you know, they pass the test. And that look Picard gives Q for passing the test. Like,
what's up now, bitch?
Yeah, like, it's like, bitch, you got jokes? You got, you know? And
you talking all that shit now?
Yeah.
Motherfucker?
But what's funny is, like, he's a, you know, now that he's passed, he's like, get off my bridge. I don't want you coming back here again.
Now he's a boss. You know,
yeah.
He's like,
and he's like, I leave only because I choose to, but I don't promise not to return. and of course, at the end of that, you know, everybody's sitting back and like, I hope all our missions aren't like that. I'm sure others will be. What he says. So it was kind of a cheeseball line that he had give at the end. And then, of course, the ship warps off and all that stuff. And that's the end of the first episode. It was a rough first episode. And even the episode after that, which we'll talk about next time,
Should we give like a teaser at least of what the episode is next time?
Yeah, because we know what the episode's going to be next.
Okay, so the next podcast we're going to be talking about the episode "The Naked Now," which is essentially an homage episode.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Go look it up. But it just it's an homage episode to a famous episode from the original series. I do feel the original series episode did it a little better.
Yeah.
But it was a fun. It was mostly comedy. Let's be honest.
Right.
So. We'll get to see. Let's just say, Yar's only important role in the show was fully realized in this episode coming up. So it's definitely a character building moment.
Oh man.
Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share this show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen. Stop.
You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.